reflecting back to the intro of the Trap series, if you remember the first one, we talked about Peter and Judas, who both walked with Jesus, as you might remember. Both made very significant decisions towards the end of the lifespan of Jesus on earth. Both betrayed Jesus in some form or fashion. But both responded differently in those decisions. Peter, as you know, and if you might not know, repented and went on to be one of the most impacting disciples in history and church planters in history. Changed, repented, turned from denying Christ and said, "Forgive me, I'm still going to follow you, Jesus, and I'm still going to engage in the mission that you have for me." And he walked in that freedom instead of walking in guilt and shame. Judas went out, as you know, and hanged himself, succumbing to the relentless despair and hopelessness, even demonic oppression, as you might read in the scripture. Choosing death was his decision. There was no coming back from that decision. Suicide still today, we're going to talk about some of these things, that the elephants in the room that we don't often talk about in church, but we're going to, and throughout this entire series, is mental health and the oppression that we walk through in these circumstances. But suicide is an epidemic today. Many of you have been touched by suicide in your life, by someone that you know, or someone that you know that knows somebody else that has suicided in their lives. Hopelessness and loneliness is a common state of being, and increasingly so every day that we live. It's one of the most connected generations that we've ever seen coming up behind you and I. But yet it's still one of the most disenfranchised and most isolated and most lonely generation in all time. I believe that this series that we are going through is extremely important and timely for the church, for the people, the ecclesia. We often don't want to talk about mental health because we don't understand it sometimes. The stigma, the belief systems, the confusion. But often when we ignore these things, we maintain an irrelevant ecclesia. But we don't want to be irrelevant. We want to be extremely relevant because Jesus himself is irresistible. And we want the world to know that he is irresistible. Therefore, the church is relevant because we're the very carriers of the light, hope, and love that Christ is. See, the world does not know that Christ even exists except for you and I. By the Holy Spirit that's been poured out into our hearts now, shining through us, living through us, by the love that God is now working through you and I. That's how the world gets to know that there's a God that resurrected from the grave and poured out his Holy Spirit into you and I to live victoriously and in freedom and in truth and grace. He still loves us with an irresistible love that gives hope, that births hope in you and I, and not just you and I, but can birth hope in our very city that we live in the very neighborhood that we're in, the very workplace that we work in, wherever you are, with the very school that you go to, the university that you're in, whatever it might be, Jesus still is the hope for this world. So I want to continue, you've heard me use this word before, to demystify a healthy life in Christ, normalizing hope and healing. Because I still, like I said, believe with all my heart that Christ is the hope still today. And I do know that he still heals and delivers and brings victory and freedom in people's lives. I've experienced it for my own life, and I've seen it experienced multiple times around me, and the influences and the peers that I know that have been affected, that have been set free, that have experienced freedom because of the grace of Jesus Christ. By his stripes we are healed, and is still active. He's still active in the earth today. So I want to normalize hope and healing. Oh man, can you imagine with hope and healing, if we could see the hope and healing rise in this city to the degree that it needs to see people set free from addiction, see people set free from pornography, to see people set free from whatever oppressive thing that they're going through, the brokenness, the depression, the anxiety, the cyclic behaviors that they're going through. Man, the churches, the home groups, the gatherings in Jesus' name would be full and filled to the brimming and overflowing. Why? Because we all want to have love. It's an innate desire that we've been wired with, is to be loved. We all need hope, and we all need healing, whether it be physiologically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. I still believe that the world and the church needs deliverance from the very oppressor whose very mission is to kill and to destroy. Physically, mentally, spiritually, we can have wholeness in Christ. You can have wholeness in Christ. So depression is what we're looking at today. Depression is this, is reviewing some past experience enough times that you are producing the same chemistry in your brain and body over and over again, that your brain and body doesn't know the difference between the actual experience that's creating that emotion and the emotion that is being created by thought alone. You condition your body into a sense of hopelessness and powerlessness. So when you open your focus, a little bit of body science here, we're going to bring some science. Is that okay? You like science? Well, we don't have any experiments today, but that's okay. When you open your focus and start creating brain and heart coherence, your neurotransmissions begin to increase. Your serotonin and melatonin levels begin to increase to a healthy level. Your autonomic nervous system starts processing at healthy levels and healthy functioning. What was once a brain imbalance by depression or anxiety, through focus, begins to naturally move back into coherence, resulting in a less disjointed or fragmented or fractured neurologically and emotionally state of being, allowing you to be less dependent on substances, helping you to feel better and function at healthy levels that you are designed to function at. See, when you intentionally labor to be in the present moment, creating more brain coherence, in the act of doing that, you cannot be overwhelmed by the future if you have overcome those thoughts and emotions. Or you cannot be reliving or romancing the past as you move into the present moment. See, if you're living in the present moment, you're not living anxiously for tomorrow. And if you're living in the present moment, you're no longer romancing the past. When you're living in the present moment, your brain and heart coherence starts to increase, creating healthy bodily and physiological function, which then affects your spirit, affects your soul, which your mind, will, and emotions is the soul, the handbasket that holds your mind, will, and emotions. So your body starts to function at a physiological level that it's supposed to healthily. Now your mind, will, and emotions start to be affected in a healthy way as your heart and mind have coherence. And guess what? Now you're living in what we would call in Christianese victory. Now you're living in hope. Now you're living in peace. Now you're living in joy. Why? Because you're living in the present moment right now with Jesus Christ. You are confident in who you are. You're not worried about the past, and you're not worried about the future. That's living right now with who you are in Christ and being completely satisfied. I am no longer living in depression. I am no longer living in anxiety. I'm no longer living in my emotional state that's triggered by past experiences because I've been set free from my past. I have hope for my future, and I have healing from my past by intentionally laboring in the present moment. Deep-seated depression is a bodily response to the prolonged thought linked to experiencing shame and or grief, despair, resulting in feeling, again, helpless and hopeless. How many of you have ever experienced such deep-level, deep-seated grief or despair that there's no hope? I cannot do anything. I'm helpless. I have no power to overcome this circumstance. I have no power to let go that item that holds me back to my past. I have no control over my future. Right, you have no control over your past and very little control over the future. But if you live in the present moment, you have control over the moment right now. You can live in wholeness in the moment by moment with Christ and be completely satisfied, be completely whole in that moment. Weight loss, lack of appetite, insomnia, trouble concentrating, social isolation, headaches, stomach and joint pains, overwhelmed by negative feelings and thoughts of worthlessness, suicidal thoughts and ideations. These are common signs of walking in depression or experiencing a bodily symptomatic experience of depression. And not just because you have headaches doesn't mean you have depression. It takes a multiplicity of these symptoms, because my goodness. Mood disorders primarily affect, that's what depression falls under clinically, affect a person's emotional balance and well-being. People who are experiencing mood disorders go through periods of depression, and some will experience periods of mania even, which is an extremely elevated sense or emotional state of being. These periods of depression are darker, though, and more pervasive than your normal feelings of sadness or anger. We're talking about deep-seated depression. We're talking about long periods of darkness, isolation, sadness, and anger. Mood disorders are serious mood disorders and disturbances that interfere with your very way of being, your very life. Very debilitating, extremely debilitating. But reflecting back on how our emotions are attached to past experiences, negative emotions are triggered from a memory of a negative experience, signaling both the body to respond and often resulting with negative behavior or our behavior, creating a perpetual cycle of automatic thoughts, behaviors, actions, and emotions that continue to entrench you or entrap you into the past or worried about the future, rather than thriving in the forward movement or the forward momentum into your destiny, which is right now in this moment, and your God-given future, which only God knows and controls. See, often due to our belief systems and to protect our well-being, because we love to protect ourselves, we're a prideful bunch. We are. We have egos that protect ourselves from and protect our well-being. But we isolate often when feeling shame. We isolate when we feel grief and embarrassment. And by doing so, we often end up experiencing a deeper sense of guilt when we disconnect, feeling shamed, and later on resulting with depression itself, with a long duration of feeling those experiences. Maybe, let's put it this way, maybe you wear a name tag that states, I'm no good. Maybe you wear a name tag that says, I'm unloved. I always mess up. I can't add up to anything. Maybe that's your identity that you've embraced in the last day or year or months, decades even for some. Maybe anger is often your outlet of depression. They don't like me. He or she treats me badly. She's so hateful to me. Feelings of anger, you want justice. Maybe you want vengeance and payback. We can experience depression in multiple ways. These emotions are related to the very experience, though, become stored in our body and entrench us in an addiction to the hormones and chemical releases in our body, trapping us in a cycle of addictive behavior. So we've talked about this a few times now, but I want it to be really clear what's happening in our bodies when we live in the past, when we live anxious for the future, when we live in despair and hopelessness, extreme grief, deep-seated isolation caused from long durations of depression, trapping us in a cycle of physiological addiction. But there is hope. Let me remind you that your righteousness is secured in Christ. He robes you in righteousness, puts a ring on your finger, and seals you unto redemption. You are in right standing, or restored into right relationship, reconciled unto the Father because of what Jesus has done for you. So you don't have to wear the name tag that says, I'm no good. You don't have to wear the name tag that says, I'm unloved, or I'm always screwed things up. I can't add up to anything. But you can wear the very name tag that says, I am loved. I am a child of the living God. I am somebody to Jesus Christ. You don't have to live trapped by negative experiences in your past. You don't have to live trapped in the anxious wondering about tomorrow and how is God going to provide for all my needs and how is this going to work out and what about my education and what about my housing? What about whatever it is, the car that I drive? I can't find the parts. I can't afford to do this. Instead of worrying about tomorrow, I can live right now confident that I am a child of God and I believe in the promises that he said he would never leave me, never forsake me. He would take care of me. He would feed me. He's with me all the way and I love him so much. Now I'm standing in the present moment with Jesus. So many of us get caught up in lies of shame and isolate, removing themselves from the very life-giving flow of blood and oxygen that is found in the body of Christ gathered. Don't do life alone. You are never designed to do life alone. From the very beginning of time when Adam and Eve was created, God saw man and said, that's the only thing that's not good is that man's alone. So he created a spouse. It says, now you become one. Go and multiply. Take care of the earth. Steward it. You're never designed to do life alone. Don't isolate yourself because of shame and regret. Those are past experiences that you're experiencing again through your emotions and thought processing that's trapped you in a cycle. Stop. Stop. Hit the brakes. You don't have to do it. You are robed in righteousness. You are sealed unto redemption. You have a relationship with the Father because of Jesus. Oh, don't be as the heathen, some of the scripture says, and live life unto self and isolate from the body. A hand can't do life alone, separated from the body, it dies. We know this. We don't have to live in separation and segregation. It's disenfranchising. It's lonely. We are stronger together. We are one body, meant to do life together in Christ, fully reconciled to the Father. So move away from the edge. Maybe you feel this morning that that edge is really close, or you're very close to that edge in your life where you feel like there is no hope for this situation that I'm going through. But there is. There is hope, and his name is Jesus. Move out from despair. Move away from. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, as the old song says. From despair to hope, the birthplace for gratitude and joy is found in hope. See, you can't have joy without hope. You can't have gratitude without hope. You know why? Because without hope, you live in the opposite and the opposing. You live disenfranchised. You live in isolation. You live in shame. You live in regret. You have to have hope. And the only hope that you can ever have that will give you a sense of fulfillment is in Christ. It's not hype as in happiness and elation and making it up on the spot. No, it's a deep-seated sense of hope, knowing that my hope is found in Christ. He is providing for me. He has given me life and life abundant. The joy that I have is found in him. The peace that I find is in him. And that's all by living in the present moment, in the here and now. Christ in me, the very hope of glory. See, hope ensures that I do not continue to repeat the cycle. Hope leverages my faith. Let's go to our scripture in Hebrews. Now, I've talked a lot of science and ready to go here. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Popular passage here says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the full confidence of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The same things that are the object of our hope are the object of our faith. This alone reframes your thinking. See, when you find your hope in Christ, your faith grows in Christ. Your faith becomes a trust in Christ, and your trust then becomes a surrender in Christ. You see where I'm going? You start to begin to understand who you really are in Christ. You live fully surrendered to Christ, not worrying about past stuff, not worrying about future tense, but I'm living right now, secured in Christ. Through the hope that I find in him, by the faith that I see in him, the trust and surrender. Hope leverages my faith. An ongoing cyclic sense of hopelessness, despair, prolonged sadness, feelings of guilt and shame are markers of being trapped in depression. Let me read that again. The ongoing cyclic sense of hopelessness, despair, prolonged sadness, feelings of guilt and shame are markers of being trapped. Are you living in hopelessness today? Are you living trapped by these feelings of guilt and shame from things that maybe you've done or maybe that someone has done to you in the past? Choose. You can choose today to live in the present moment in hope, in Christ, the very hope that we have, and it will predestine your faith, or predestine your faith. See, what you put your hope on is what your faith is in. So if you put your hope in Christ, your faith will be in Christ, not in my own works, not in my accolades, not in my certificates, not in my mom, not in my wife, my kids, my friends. My hope has got to be found in Christ, because wherever my hope is focused, that's exactly where my faith is focused. And the last thing I want is faith in myself. The world will sell you a religion of self. And that's great. They're focusing on self-development and all the self-empowerment. That's great. But the thing is it has a dead end, because self can only take you so far. But God, hope in Jesus, that faith will take you to the very end of time and beyond, because we're designed to live eternally. And faith will take you into eternity. Now, if you are living in a manner that separates you from the design that God has designed you to live in, with it, which is in perfect unity with him and righteousness with him and right standing with him, living in dead works, you might often feel the consequences of living in those dead works. You don't have to. You don't have to live in lying and deceiving and gossiping and deception and contempt and bitterness. You don't have to live in those dead works. Those dead works only bring dead, they don't even bring fruit, actually. It's just dead works. It doesn't provide you anything. It doesn't provide you hope. Stop. You don't have to do that. You don't have to tend to a vineyard that's already dead. Leave it behind. Christ is the vine that you've been grafted into. You can live in wholeness. You can live in full surrender. You can live in peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of heaven. Move away from the kingdom of dead works. Some would call it sin. Stop. Stop, stop, stop. Drop and roll. Make new choices today. You can make a new choice. I will live. I choose to live in Christ as I am truly designed to live. See, Christ doesn't leave you abandoned to your own demise. Thanks, Jesus. Through the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, he gives us strength to make new choices. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How? Through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit into your life. That's Philippians 4:13. I actually have that there. Fixing your eyes on the maker of heaven and earth. Let your focus on him transform you, because where you put your focus, where you put your hope, is where your faith is. And where your faith is who you begin to trust. And when you begin to trust, it becomes an attitude of surrender. And you walk in wholeness. It doesn't matter if I'm walking with cancer. It doesn't matter if I'm walking in dysfunction, or if I'm walking in a broken home or a broken family. Maybe I'm broke financially. I've got lots of brokenness. But if I'm walking in full surrender to God, I can still walk in wholeness in Christ as I am intended to walk in that hope and healing. So what do you do? We choose our thoughts. Whoever thought you could choose your thoughts? When you have a thought every 3 seconds, I think, or whatever it is, it's plenty of thoughts going around in this little cranium every day. What are you investing into your mind? What are your inputs today? Can you take your thoughts captive and hold them captive to submit unto the Father? Can you examine your thoughts? Why? Because your thoughts are what you become. Your thoughts are what you focus on. Your thoughts is what you begin to put your hope into. Your thoughts. What are you dwelling on? What are your inputs? Examine your thoughts. Proverbs 23:7. We read this before. The psalmist, or the writer, or the author here says, what a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What I think, what I dwell on, is what I become, is what I chase. It becomes my, almost like my God. And sometimes that self is exactly the God that I worship more than than the one that created the heavens and the earth. Stop. Hold the phone. It doesn't lead you to everlasting life and wholeness. What are you thinking about? What are you dwelling on? Are they rational? We're going to go through some practical things here. Are my thoughts rational? Here's how you examine your thoughts. Here's how you choose your thoughts. And here's how you keep them captive and hold them accountable. All right, so are they rational? So are they true? Do they make sense? Are they helpful? Or are they irrational thoughts? These are untrue thoughts. They don't make sense. And they are harmful thoughts. And let's look at some of these practical examples of irrational thoughts, just to give you some ideas of how we get trapped in our thinking paths that leads to traps and kills the very hope that we're designed to walk in. Demands. These are, I must have, I should have, I have to. Absolutes that put unrealistic expectations upon yourself. Demands. My life should be better than this. I should have this figured out by now. But it leads us to emotional distress when we live with thoughts that are demanding upon us. Overgeneralizations. Only, always, and never beliefs are also absolutes. All or nothing. No room for options. I always screw up. Things never go the way I want them to go. If you want to hear an absolute that can change your way of thinking, is this: I am loved by God. That's an absolute that you want to have tattooed on the heart. I am loved by God. I am valuable to God. I am loved. Jesus loves me. This I know. Stop filling your mind with negative absolutes. Cope in God. Find your hope in Christ by letting yourself go from being stuck and trapped by these absolute irrational belief systems. Only, always, and nevers. Let it go. You're not designed to live trapped in irrational belief systems today. You can live knowing that God, I am loved by God. I am amazing before God. I am made righteous before God. Frustration intolerance. Here's another one. I can't stand this. I can't handle this. I can't deal with this anymore. These thoughts are generally false, actually. I can't handle all this nagging. I can't handle the stress with this new job. The truth is that we actually can. And that we do handle. And we handle these pressures, but often just not in a healthy way. Frustration, intolerance. In Christ, I can do all things. Christ will give you the strength to follow through in His will, in His way, in His direction. Awfulizations. Some of these things sound familiar today. I know I've been guilty of every one of them. Does that help you feel better? Awfulizations. This is the worst thing ever. This is horrible. It's awful. The meanest, cruelest, stupidest, nastiest, on and on and on. Awfulizations. Exaggerations of how bad something is. She's the cruelest boss on earth. Or my mother was the worst mother ever. And some of you, maybe you had. But awfulizations is that we can get stuck. Or that job was the worst thing I've ever had. We often apply such exaggerations in our lives. Are these actually true? No, probably not. But we will use them as excuses. Irrational thoughts. Humanity often tends to lean towards negativity, pessimism, irrational and unrealistic beliefs. This is the human state of being. This is humanity. You don't have to. You don't have to live subject to the principles and powers of this world, but you can live surrendered to the very creator and maker of heaven and earth, who wants to have a relationship with you, who wants to live inside of you, who wants to talk with you and commune with you and eat with you and dine with you. He wants to have a romantic relationship with you. He wants to fulfill you and see you fulfill the designs and purposes that He has for you in your life. Ding! Dinner's over. Make the choice today. I don't have to be my thoughts. I don't have to be my feelings. My thoughts and feelings are not the boss of me. They are not the boss of you. Take the time to examine your thoughts, what you are thinking, and ask yourself, is this really true? Does this line up with what Jesus says I am? Is this really what Jesus says about me? What is the evidence that supports this thought? Now take your thought and make it submit to the Word of God, to what Jesus says about you. Think on these things instead. Philippians 4, verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Remember that focus will exclude what you are not focusing on. All right? Focus will exclude what you're not focusing on. I am a living miracle. Every breath I breathe, everything I see, even if but for a moment, I can cherish the very life that I live with the focus on who I am and what I am intended for. Now I see how beautiful I am, how wonderfully and fearfully I am made. Let hope rise up in you today. Choose joy, choose gratitude, love, and peace. The very characteristics and attributes of God, choose those. Jesus didn't come to condemn you, nor the world, actually. He came so that everyone could have salvation and access to God, our Heavenly Father. John 3 and 17 says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." And in Romans 8, we talk about in verse 34, so who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, the sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. Our lives are at risk every day, is what he's saying. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, or things present or things to come, powers nor height nor depth, anything else in all creation, will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So many live trapped in shame and self-condemnation and depression and anxiety, trapped by our emotions, our past mistakes. But the gospel is a message of forgiveness, of redemption, and of hope. The gospel message makes no room for fear, for shame, and condemnation. And I want you to remind you today and us today that we don't have to live trapped in depression and in these emotions and in our past mistakes. You can live free from condemnation, shames and regrets, guilt in Christ Jesus. It can be a fresh start for you even today by simply reminding your soul that Jesus loves you, and he loves you so much that he died for you, gave his life for you. His Spirit, now poured out on all flesh, will guide you and give you the very strength to overcome your perceived obstacles. The oppressor, who is the enemy, will oppress you, will put mental pressure on you or distress you and cause you to be in a state of being subjected to prolonged and unjust, you might feel, or unfair treatment. This is what the oppressor does. He is walking around like a roaring lion, looking for who he can devour. First Peter 5, I'm almost done here. In verse 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brothers throughout the entire world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The enemy wants to devour you through your thoughts, through your negative emotions, through self-sabotage, but you can resist. You can resist the enemy. Some don't understand or can't even fathom or imagine that there's actually a God that cares for you. He can shoulder your care, cast it on him, resist the enemy, say, hold the fort there. Give your cares to our God. Be clear-headed and watchful. Be firm in your faith in Christ. You are not alone in this, is what he's saying. So do life with other believers. Christ himself will restore you, confirm you, strengthen you, and establish you. He has the dominion and power for eternity to do so. The enemy has been defanged at the cross. The head of the serpent was crushed. The enemy's roar is like the roar of lies that bombards your mind and spins around inside of your skull sometimes. They're only potent to devour your soul and rob you of effective living if you give room to him to do so. Resist the enemy, and he will flee. Let the resistance rise in you. Be steadfast in your faith, in your hope. Fight. I know it can be tough. I know it can be excruciating. I know it's not easy. We get it. I get it. Even though I've never walked a day in your shoes, I've walked through my own valleys of the shadow of death. but I will not fear. I trust in Jesus. I know he's got this. Another significant thing that Peter was saying in this context is this: instead of going around casting demons out of other Christians, he simply challenges individual Christians to deal with Satan as the conquered foe that he is, who can be and must be personally resisted. Resist the enemy and he will flee. Don't give room to the enemy. Resist. See, the word comes from a Greek word, two Greek words actually, which means stand and against. Set the enemy running by the authority of Christ invested in you through what Jesus did on the cross. And then it goes on, it says, after you have suffered a while. Yeah, we've all suffered a while, God. It's time now. Let's go. Let's move on. Verse 10, why? The truth is, we are only called to his eternal glory after you have suffered a while. We wish we were called to his eternal glory on the no suffering air miles plan. But God will use your suffering to perfect you, to establish you, to strengthen you, and to settle you. So, what? Continue to daily engage in prayer with gratitude. Engage in scripture analysis and self-review and self-reflection as you look in the mirror of the Word of God. And make time for meditation, which simply means to become familiar with. When you meditate on God and on his Word through prayer, you are simply becoming familiar with him, familiar to his voice, familiar to his touch. Colossians 3 and 10. Put on the new self which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Recklessly, it might feel like it, but today I challenge you to recklessly abandon self. Let it go. It will help leverage you into effectively changing your mood, changing your temperament and your personality traits. Focus. Be familiar with him as you meditate on him, as you communicate with him through prayer, and as you self-analyze through the scripture reading, you can see how God has created you to be who you are in him. Choose today. Don't be a victim of your past experiences, your thoughts and emotions. Trapped. Some choose spiritual suicide and live like dead men walking. You don't have to live like that. You can live in the fullness of the glory of God by living in the present moment right here with Jesus now. Stop today. Choose to be made alive in Christ. Jesus, we thank you for being a message of forgiveness, for being a message of redemption, for being a message of hope. Today, Jesus, renovate my mind. Renew my mind. I say yes to you. I resist the enemy and say no to the enemy, resisting hopelessness as I find all my hope established and certain in you.